All right, welcome back to the Kachim Chabura. Welcome to those online following the Kachim Chabura. We seem to have a bunch of people who are following. We have from Bnei Brak, we have from Brooklyn, a few from Brooklyn, who are following the Kachim Chabura. Online, on the blog, on the online.
Not live.
What?
Not live.
Not live. Downloading the share.
Some from the Heights also.
Crown Heights or Washington Heights?
Washington.
All right. What could you do? Oh, very nice. Okay, good.
Ala Heights.
What?
Ala Heights.
Okay. Today's shiur, we're doing this topic as per a request from Mr. Banks. Right. So Shkoyach, you're always welcome to suggest topics you want to do, things you've dreamed about and kachim of doing your whole life, and now you have a chance to ask them. And today's shiur is sponsored in honor of our Chasson Torah from Simchas Torah. So, Miktsa Strachot Shalo B'fanav. Makes a shachos b'funav, but the rest will do shalom b'funav. But you came on time, so that's a shalom b'funav. We can always cut and paste, whatever. But I want to say, really, this shir happened ultimately because of Avi. Wednesday night was a stam shir. I don't know what I was doing 4 years ago. 4 years ago, we were doing random sugyas. I don't know where we were and what we were doing, and it wasn't this group. You know, Avi's really been behind this, making sure it's happened, making sure that it continues, pushing me to make sure there's consistency whenever we stop for whatever, whenever we stop for this, and has been very flexible with the style and the way we do it, and it's really, you know, when you think about what a Chasson Torah is, it's someone who helps you, who enables the shul to promote Torah in the best way possible, and someone who saw fit to make sure there's a shir in this way, first in the home, then we decided let's shift it over here, whichever way we do it, to make sure that there is Torah. I can think of no greater kibbu than that. That's what shul life is about. So I can think of no greater kibbu than that. And it was our honor to be able to give Chasson Torah this year to Avi. And since I've gotten here, Avi's been a confidant, and Avi's been an advisor on many areas. You know, the Ganesha was my idea tonight, but in the important in Yonim, Avi's there for me and always offering assistance and guidance, and I really appreciate that, and the shul does as well. With that in mind, the Shema Mefurish we have to talk about tonight. And the Shema Mefurish is a very mystical sugya. At the same time, this is a hardcore chabura, which means it gets back to lumdis whether it's mystical or not. So for those who are hoping for a Kabbalah shir, you can go elsewhere. We're going to focus on the real, on the heavy-duty stuff. But let's talk about the Shema Mefurish. Here we go. The Rambam says, what is the Shema Mefurish? The Shema Mefurish means the explicit name. What is the explicit name? So he says that the Shem HaMefurish is the Shem Yud Ke Vav Ke. Right? The Yud and the Hey and then the Vav and then the Hey. That's the Shem HaMefurish. He says that again in Mor Nevuchim, in several places. And he quotes also the Gemara in Kedushin Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph that says there's also a 12-letter name of Hashem as well as a 42-letter name of Hashem. So Rambam there in Kedushin says, Rambam speaking about Kedushin says that these longer names were probably, it says this more in Nevuchim, the longer names were probably more like phrases that described certain attributes of Hashem. If I took a poll and asked you before the shir, what do you think of the Shema Mefurish is? I think the average person in the street would say it's the 42 ineffable name of God or something like that, the longer one. But Rambam says it's not true. Those longer names of God must have been some mystical and cosmic description of God. The real Shema Mefurish was the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. That's the name. That's the Shema Hashem. So he says that's the real Shema Hashem that we're talking about. And we don't even know what do we know about this Yud. Let's just call it a simple name. The Yud Kei Vav Kei. Well, this is what we could say quickly.
The tetragrammaton.
Okay. Tetra is how much?
Four.
Good. There you go. Tetra is four. So why is Tetris?
Four pieces, four blocks.
Okay. The first time Shema Mefurish Sugya is ever mentioned in context with Tetris. Happened here, right? The first time ever. No one's ever done that in history. Okay, fine. Back to the sugya.
Is there a 72-letter name as well, I think? Or?
There's also a 72-letter name. Rambam, for some reason, doesn't talk about that when he's dealing with explaining to you Shem HaMefurash, in contrast to the Shem HaMefurash. But there is also, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is a beautiful piece. When Noach, we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian, when he hit the Egyptian, so Rashi tells you he used the special name of Hashem. So in explaining Rashi, most Midrashim assume that the Medrash he's quoting is that he was using the 72-letter name of Hashem. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, why did he have to use, what's the deal, why with that? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky gets a beautiful pshat. He says, why did he kill this Egyptian? Egyptian didn't deserve, was there a chi of Misa yet? So it says, what did he do? He looked at the end, many generations down the line, right, saw what was going to happen over here. So what is that? You can't kill based on that. Nidon al shame sofo. Ben Soramori, you can kill based on that. Not a random person. You can start looking into the future. So therefore, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Moshe Rabbeinu had to use some way beyond the regular means of killing in order to take him out of play. He had to turn it to the hands of Beis Din Shalmala. He had to put it into God's hands. So how did he do that? He invoked the 72-letter name of Hashem, and then Hashem could take care of whatever he needs to take care of at that point. So to speak, he did it in a way that still, took it away from a human court hands, his own, taking law into his own hands.
When you say 4272, does it say in the Gemara exactly all the letters?
You have the Ana B'Koach. You ever seen the Ana B'Koach in the bottom left of the art scroll? In the bottom left of the art scroll, you have the Ana B'Koach, the 42. Zohar mentions the 72 numerous times.
Also in numerous times. In Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur davening, and a lot of the, like in Kedusha.
Yeah.
And in a lot of the, Malkano, if you say, like, I think for Parnassa. Yeah.
They have them in there. Scan with the eyes.
Scan
with the eyes. Scanning.
Faxing
and scanning. Very
Do
important.
These come from Sinai?
So you have a Ramban. There's a Ramban who talks about how the entire Torah is also a Shem Hashem. That it's all one, if you read it all as one shot, it's all the Shem Hashem. Ramban develops this as a very Lumdish theory. He says, based on that, we understand what's the inherent Kedusha of Torah. Why Torah has a level Kedusha that's unparalleled to anything else that we have, any other mitzvah. Why? Because essentially it's a Shem Hashem. It's one big Shem Hashem. And because of that, that's why this Kedusha Sefer Torah trumps everything else, because it is Be'etzim Hashem Hashem. The only things that are similar to that level, you have like Tefillin and things like that, because that's Shem Hashem. Think about it. The things that are more Kaddish in Judaism are the things that contain Shem Hashem. And the Ramban says the reason Sefer Torah trumps everything is because it is the Shem Hashem when you look at the whole thing together. So Ramban talks about that. Yeah.
Rashi keeps saying he doesn't know what it is.
What are you looking here? In Chagiga. Oh. It says Ein Dorshin, and you already darshaned.
No,
Ein Dorshin by Arayas. All right. Perish Rabbeinu Tam, who Shem Membe Zosius, the Yotzi Mibracious, and we Pasuk Shalachra. He gets it from the Torah, reading straight. Rabbeinu Tam says it's straight from the Torah itself, reading straight in.
That's different than Rashi, because Rashi in the Gemara you mentioned says he doesn't know what he did.
Right. Excellent, thank you. Where's that Rashi?
In the Kedusha, keep away. The Gemara says 12, and what Rashi says.
Oh,
an Ayin Aleph. Over and over.
Ayin Aleph.
So obviously his son-in-law, whatever this guy was,
Rabbeinu Tam,
had a different opinion, or Rashi didn't want to tell us. It's interesting.
Very good. Here, Likutei Rashi also gives you it. In the bottom. Yeah, it's on the bottom also by the Likutei Rashi. Leidei Mahu. Okay. So let's talk Tachlis here. So what is the name of the what does the Shem HaMefurash mean? Okay, we have this Shem HaMefurash, right? This Yudkei Vavkei. What does it mean? So Rambam says that it probably means something along the line. Anybody ask you, what does that name mean? What does that name mean? Every name means something. Kel Shakai, you know what Shakai means, the name Shakai? Anyone know what that means?
No.
Shakai means like Shamar Dai, like until there. World is created,
okay,
stop there. Elohim is Din, Yud Kei Vav Kei is Rachamim. But what does the name mean? What does it mean? Every Shem Hashem has a meaning to it. What does it mean? Like Shakai means until here. It means something. So Rambam says that acronym notwithstanding, then word Be'etzem means etymologically that word Be'etzem means absolute existence. That's who Hayahova V'yiyah. It's just existence itself. It's past, present, future. It just is, was, and it absolute. That's how he explains it. Rambam says it's absolute existence. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's on 60a, Samach Hamed Aleph, right, where he discusses the dinim of Megadev.
Right.
So the Gemara says there's one part where it says that even when he uses the four-letter name of Hashem, mm-hmm, it's Megadev. So the Gemara says, what's the Chiddush over here? What's the Chiddush trying to point out? So the Gemara answers, thought that you may need the Shem Rabba. So the Chiddush is that even the four-letter name is enough. Yeah. Even the four-letter name. So what's the Shem Rabba? Rashi on that Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's what I thought you were going to point to. But you're pointing to the Rashi, says he doesn't know. Rashi in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And that Gemara says that's Shem Rabba is referring to the 42-letter name of Hashem, which is the Shem Mefarsh. That's the Shem Mefarsh. It's against the Rambam.
But he doesn't say what it is, right?
He doesn't know what it is. Right. But he's going against, you understand, he's going against the Rambam. So you have two machlokesim so far. Mr. Banks introduced the machlokes of Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi over what's the 42-letter name. And then we have a second machlokes over what's the Shem HaMefurish. The Shem HaMefurish, according to the Rambam, is the four-letter name of Hashem. According to Rabbeinu, according to the Rambam, according to Rashi, it's the 42-letter name of Hashem. What then, the problem is according to the Rambam. How's the Rambam going to explain the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Let me say the Gemara in Sanhedrin to you again. The Gemara in Sanhedrin said that a Megadev is punished even for the four-letter name, right? And then it says, what's the Chiddush? Because I would have thought that you need the Shem Rabba. So what's the Shem Rabba then, according to the Rambam? Why would the great name be the one that's not the Shem HaMefurish? So Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah Beis Zayin says the following. V'yavarach oso b'shem, right? You should bless my name. Ain't Megadev chayiv skila ad shiyavarash et Hashem HaMiyuchad shel arba osios shu alef delet nun yud al Shem HaMiyuchad Chayiv Skila. Al Shar Kinuyin, the rest of the nicknames, whatever other names for Hashem. So that also there's gonna be Chiyuvim for. Any name which you can erase. V'yesh Mishim Afarish Einu Chayiv Ela Al Shem Yud Hey Vav and Hey. Va'ani Omar Shal Shneim Hu Niskal. You get it for both. So Megadef, according to the Rambam, is one who's Chayiv for both of the four letters names of Hashem. Aleph, and the Dalet, and the Nud, and then the Yun, or the Yud K Vav K. So where does he get that halacha, that the real Megadef is both four-letter names of Hashem? Those are the real Dinim of Megadef, those two? So he says as follows. He said that the four-letter name there in Sanhedrin is the Aleph Dalet, meaning the Shem Rabba it's referring to is the Shem Adnus, Aleph Dalet, not the 42-letter name. 42-letter name wasn't in the running. That, for the Rambam, is just another way of describing God's midos, God's attributes. That's not one of the major players in the scene. So the two major ones are the four letters. And it's the reason the Rambam has to read that in the Gemara is Shem Rabba, because it goes with his Shita that the main Shem HaMefurish is the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay, and that's how the Rambam came along. That came along to that. Where is this idea of the 72-letter? I was holding back, so I want you to hear what's... Where is the 72-letter? Everyone's talking about now, we heard 42. Sprinkling of 42 letters. Where do we get 72? So you have it in the first time is in the Bereishis Rabba. The Bereishis Rabba says that Ravina quotes that Hashem is Poda Bonav. Hashem is Poda his children with his 72, Shem Ayin Beis, with his 72-letter name. That's the oldest source about the 72-letter name. It's a Bereishis Rabba that says Hashem is going to be Poda his children with the 72-letter names. Okay, with the 72-letter name. Okay, if anybody wants to know where that is and what's the source for it. Okay.
Remind us, Bereishis Rabba is pre-Rishonim?
Pre-Rishonim.
But post-Gemara.
Post-Gemara?
It's already, it's Midrashim, bulk of Midrashim developed along with many of the Tanaim, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Along with many of the Tanaim. Okay. So now,
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you have these exotic, lengthy names, you're never going to have Megadev, because none of us know what they are, so we're never going to be Megadev, right? According to Rambam, you can be Abraham Megadev.
Even according to Rashi. But to Rashi,
we don't know what the names are.
No, according to Rashi, the Gemara said you're Chayav for the Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's the Chiddush? Because I would have thought it's only the Shem Rabba. The problem with Rashi is, what was the Havamina? Only Megadev by a Shem Rabba that nobody knows, or a Shem Rabba that most people can't say? It's the Havamina that's the problem,
right,
for Rashi.
Right.
But the conclusion of the Gemara is safe. He's still safe. There's a question in general whether you can ask questions from the Havaminas. There's a great machlokis in Kiddushin and Psachim by Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara. I'm only going this tangent because it's Kachim. Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara. What's Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara? It's, let's say you're not supposed to shecht non-Kachim in the Azara. So let's say you shecht Chulin inside the Azara. Okay, you shechted with it. So the Gemara talks about in Kiddushin and both Psachim, can you marry someone with a piece of chulin that was shechted in the Azara? On one hand, it's not really considered nevela trefa. It's not really that level of asr bahana. You can't marry someone with something asr bahana. But on the other hand, this is asr midrabanan. So can you marry someone with something that is asr midrabanan? And the Gemara concludes, of course you can't. But from the Havamina, they were entertaining... What? Time out. Time out. I'm going to go in. We'll go in the rabbit hole. 1 second. The Gemara for a moment says maybe you can't. Maybe you can get married with something which is asr derabanan. So Tosfos. I think it's Tosfos comes up and says, but that goes against the opinion of Rav Gidol. Rav Gidol in Psachim says that you can't marry. He says directly you can't marry with isr hana derabanan. You can't get married with isr hana derabanan. So then Tosfos comments, what do you mean that the Havamina goes against Rav Gidol? You can't ask a question from the Havamina. The conclusion went with Rav Gidol. It was in the middle of a train of thought. You're asking from the middle of a Havamina on someone else's Shita? Lachori, you could ask on Havaminas. The fact that the Gemara thought it even for a moment, it means it needs explanation. And the Ritva jumps on that, and everyone jumps in the bandwagon to figure out what Tosfos was trying to... Why Tosfos felt you couldn't even have a Havamina. Why Tosfos felt that you can't ask kashas from a Havamina. What did he mean as a rule in general? Or he meant this Havamina was so loose that you couldn't... You can't really... It was leading. It was a Havamina that's leading.
Totally
no, but you know sometimes when you lead someone...
You can give money in exchange for this. You can give money.
If you believe Rav Gidol's an ironclad shita, no one disagrees with them.
Okay.
So Tosfos is saying... So those Rishonim are saying, how in the world do you have a Havamina in the Gemara that ever went against Rav Gidol if no one disagreed with Rav Gidol when he said his line? So the answer to others say, they give other answers. Tosfos' answer is because you can't ask questions from the Havamina. In the conclusion, it's going to fit nicely with Rav Gidol and agree with him. My point was whether or not you could ask questions from Havaminas. Back to what you're saying. But it is Sheva Pruta, right? It's worth Sheva Pruta. So that's the question. It's the Machlokis Avne Miluim and the Avne Miluim. It's famous Mishnah Lamelech. Isha's Perek Hey, Halacha Aleph. Mishnah Lamelech there says that if you take a rock and you throw it into... you want to marry a woman with a rock by throwing a rock at her, right? In Bar Ilan Street, Chassid sees a beautiful woman. He throws a rock at her to marry her with it. Marry me. Right? Oh, you can't be a Kiddushin on Shabbos. Fine. My Okimta was wrong. What? In some countries they marry like that. So you throw a rock at the woman to marry her, and suddenly, but it's not Sheva Pruta, suddenly, all of a sudden, while the rock's in the air, all of a sudden you get the stock report, find out rocks are a rare commodity, they went through the roof. And the second she catches the rock, it's worth a fortune. Is that a good Kiddushin? It's a wild case. It's the Nafkaminas are so practical and tremendous. Maybe we'll get to it. We're way off Shem and Forsh, but all right. So you throw the rock to the person. So he says, is that good or not? He says, it depends. Is the rule of Sheva Pruta a din in the nosein, or is it a din in the makabel? Is it a din in the receiver, the sender or the receiver? Beautiful. He then gives another one. What if a doctor says to a sick woman, she's a cholish sheish bo sakana, you have to eat a cheeseburger. You're very sick, you must eat a cheeseburger. So he says, you know what? I want to marry her. I've always wanted to marry someone by giving them a cheeseburger. Usually I've not been able to because it's considered not Sheva Pruta because it's Aser Midaraisa, possibly. So I want to give her a cheeseburger to marry her. Now that she's allowed to eat it, she has a heter, maybe I could do it. So a great Shaila. So the what's it called says, so who are we talking about? Mishnah Melech says... He says it depends on both tzaddim again, who Sheva Prutas from who perspective, my perspective or the receiver's perspective. So that depends. He concludes in the end, l'chor, that you should be able to, it should be fine. It's based on the Makabel's perspective. Avnei Miluim jumps all over that Mishnah Lamelech and says by the cheeseburger case, there's no way that's good. There's no way. It's mamish a worthless item. So he says it's worth something. He says not. What are they fighting about? So Rav Elchanan Wasserman, in his Divrei Sofrim, the Rav Elchanan Wasserman says that what they're really fighting about is that issue. How do you define Sheva Pruta? Is Sheva Pruta defined by Dine Mamanus? In the world of money, that cheeseburger is worth something. I could sell it on the street. I mean, I'm not allowed to, but I could sell it on the street without anybody knowing. It's worth money. If you ask me, is it worth money? It's worth money. It's Sheva Pruta. It's worth money. On the other hand, maybe you don't define it as an issue in Dine Mamanus. Avnei Miluim is not defining it as Dine Mamanus. Mishnah Lamelech is clearly defining it as Dine Mamanus because he's saying it's worth Sheva Pruta. Avnei Miluim says, not how you define Sheva Pruta in Judaism. You define Sheva Pruta in Judaism, does it have halachic value? halachic, not metzius value. Does it have halachic value? If it has no halachic value, that's what you look at. Who cares that she has a heter to eat it? It's intrinsically, halachically invalid, and therefore it's not a shever prutani. So you can't marry with the cheeseburger. He says that's different than the case of the throwing the rock and it goes up in value. That was an issue of nosen and receiver, giver and receiver. It depends which one you follow. This wasn't an issue of giver and receiver. Here, for both of them, it's a halachically invalid piece of meat. It is. She has to eat something halachically invalid or she's going to die. But it still is a halachically invalid piece of meat. So that issue of Shever Pruta is tied into that. So we got to that because of the issue of Havim. Yeah.
It has intrinsic value for one for whom Bat Bechalav is an usher.
No, yeah, since it's
you can't marry that.
It doesn't have halachic value. Has no halachic value. It's still treif. It's still a davar aser, and the rabbis deem a davar aser as being something intrinsically without value. Does it have value health wise? Yes. Does it have value money wise? Yes. But the rabbis, when they said sheva pruta, they meant, says the Avnei Miluim, something which has inherent value halachically. It has no inherent halachically. It's a piece of treif. It is treif. It's got X's all over it. She has to eat it because it's the.
I mean, it ties into the whole
Hutra Dechuya. Yeah. Yes. 100%.
What if that's a chefetz or a chetzel that's shava pruta to you but not shava to anyone else?
Right. From whose perspective? So that's the first issue. That's
yeah, but he's obviously asking a different question.
That what?
The different question.
Oh, from your vantage point, forget right. Receiver giver. Right. Let's say for both of you, make it simple. For both of you, it's Sheva Pruta. For somebody else, it's not Sheva
right.
Pruta.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay. Good. So in the tzad that says it's about halachic right. value, it's separation. When the value says monetary, how do you define? Well, then you got to look at the general going rate in the market, not your subjective value, the going rate in the market. Okay. Back to Shema Mefurish. So in Parshas Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu defends himself against this onslaught of Korach and his entourage. And among the things that Moshe says is, this is in Bamidbar Perek Tes Zayin, I didn't take a single donkey from them. I didn't do any harm to any of them. Right? So how many people could say, right? How many people could say nowadays, I didn't take a single dime from, how many rabbis could say, I didn't take a single dime from that person before they, you know, take some action. Whatever, fine. So the point is, the Gemara Nedarim, Lamed Chesamid Aleph, says that Moshe himself was well off. He was okay. He was okay on his own. Why? Because Hashem let him keep the leftovers from the Aseres Hadibros, from the Luchos. Hashem let him keep the leftovers, the fringe over there, the chiseled pieces, and he was able to. That was very valuable. Very valuable. So there's a sefer called.
He sold it.
What?
He sold it.
I don't know if he sold it or not. I don't know. I don't know if any. You know anything about the Yankee?
I borrowed against it.
Right. Leveraged it.
Leveraged.
Right
away. What value did that have?
Luchos. It's like moon rock. People go crazy to pay for moon rock.
Sapphire.
Yeah.
And it was sapphire from the Luchos. I mean, it was probably.
What economy did they have?
What do you mean that economy?
They didn't have
hours. The laundry was done. The food was taken. You never heard the joke? Why Jews are wandering for 40 years? Because Moshe dropped a quarter or something? Some Jew dropped a quarter?
No, the joke is how they wander around for 40 years and find the only place without oil.
Right, very good.
The whole place. But like, seriously, there was no economy. Like, what had any value?
How do you know there was no economy?
They had cattle.
They had stuff. They had pots and pans.
Yeah, they took stuff from Mitzrayim.
Pans of gold. Right, Korach wanted to bring pans of gold over there.
Machvat Zahav. That was just like today. Gold is the only thing that was worth anything. But the food was given to them.
There was extra. Yeah, there's always extra barter. Fast.
They didn't have meat. That was the whole point. You can't say they had a box of cattle. They didn't have meat. They were complaining they didn't
have
meat.
How big, how fat your tent is. Yeah.
It's
Kibudim. We're speculating, but there's got to be something that Jews found the way to. I forget Jews. That people found the way to barter, exchange. There's got to be something. I got to imagine. Right, maybe not.
I don't know those modern scholarship questions.
It's a good question. Good question. So I say on a sefer Imre Shammai. It's a sefer Imre Shammai. I don't know who the author is. So the Imre Shammai quotes a line from the Yerushalmi and Yonah. He says it was necessary for Moshe to never have any monetary favors from any of the Jewish people. And the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi, the same Yerushalmi Yoma Per Gimel, that anyone who's in control of the Shem HaMefurash could never have benefit from any one person. They cannot benefit from any one person. Meaning, we don't trust anyone with the Shem HaMefurash. if they've ever taken anything from anyone. What do you mean when she's talking about the Shem of Forish? We all know the Shem of Forish. No, those who have the heter to use it for whatever reason. Moshe Rabbeinu, a Kohen Gadol, we're going to talk about if we get to it. Anyone like that is not allowed to be trusted with the Shem of Forish if they're currently on some payroll. And can't use it.
That's a din where?
Yerushalmi per gimel yoma.
How could that apply
to these mukubalim who go around?
What?
How could that apply to a Kohen Gadol?
So we have to see how it applies to Kohen Gadol.
They're living on welfare.
We have to see what it's going on. It's a Gemara and Yoma. So on one hand, you're saying the land was given to them.
Yeah.
But that's the point. The land was given to them already and rendered ownerless. It wasn't like they're living off gifts of somebody. It's given to them. It's their tribute. It's given to them from God. That's what the Gemara says. It's Meshulchan Kavoa Kazachu. They get it from God or they're getting it from the individual?
As you like to say, fancy footwork.
Yeah.
Or is it fancy footwork. Or is it that it's okay if it's not from any one person but from everyone, basically?
I said that, right? It's 100%. Gemara Zachim uses that all the time. If something is given as a matana hatzibur, that's not what it's referring to here, Yerushalmi in Yoma. It means one person, being beholden to one person. Of course he's beholden to the entire community. He's their servant. He's serving the entire community, the Kohen. He's their misharis. Of course he is. But to be the whole beholden to individuals, that's a different din. That works better. That's less fancy.
Welfare comes from the...
The masses.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I didn't say welfare. Yerushalmi Yoma says he can't be supported from the individual. So that's worse. That's not even playing around. Now,
these mukubalim who go around asking for money in exchange for...
I don't know.
That's not the Shem on Farish.
So they can't use the Shem on Farish.
I don't know. Yes, Mataziuk. I don't know.
You believe they have the Shem on Farish?
I don't know enough about the phenomenon.
All right, so the Yerushalmi says, what are we really afraid of? We're afraid that someone who once received something from someone might become angry at that person.
Right.
And then because of that, if he knows the Shem of Forish, he'll curse him with it with fatal results.
Right.
So Imrei Shammai says, since we know that Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Shem of Forish, that's the Rashi I told you, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yudalit, we know that he never took anything from it. You see what he did? How he put it all together? Mm-hmm. It's very nice what Imrei Shammai did. The Imrei Shammai said, the Gemara Nedarim said that Moshe was rich from the Aseres Adibros, meaning God wanted to have his own inherent supply of money. Why? The Imrei Shammai connects it to the Gemara Yoma, connecting it to the Rashi by Moshe, and that's why Moshe needed to have his own supply. Okay? What doesn't make sense is, what is this Yerushalmi saying? Everyone jumps this. Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his commentary on Yerushalmi jumps on this. What does this mean? That since someone who once gave to him, he's going to become angry at them? It's the opposite. I'll become angry at someone who never gave me. This guy leaves, gives me. That, what does it mean, someone never, if I gave something to someone? What is that referring to? So what does that mean? Does it make sense? So, the Yerushalmi actually itself in the sugya clarifies. And the Yerushalmi says there was a certain doctor, a rofe, who knew the Shema Mefurish. And he wanted to give it over to Rav Pinchas Bar Chama. By the way, you see the problems here with the Rambam. Rambam says the Shema Mefurish is Yudke Vavke. So everyone's saying it's secret. We knew the Shema Mefurish. We didn't know. So for Rashi, it's fine. It's a 42-letter name that we don't know. But for Rambam, what's he going to do with all these sugyas? So you could say with the Rambam, Rambam says the Yudke Vavke is, so what's this secret that there was a doctor who wanted to give the Shem Mefurish over to the Rav Pinchas Bar Chama? What do you want to give it over to him? I know it already. I'm at the Kachim Kibur.
Okay, because that wasn't the way you were defining before. The way you were defining ownership of it was Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability, the power to utilize it. So there's a difference.
Okay, that could be one way to explain the Rambam. The giving someone the Shem Mefurish doesn't mean the usage of the name. It means how to use the name, or maybe even how to pronounce the name. Right. Maybe how to pronounce the name. You know, everyone wants to stop everybody. I'll just be on the strict side. But you don't really have to. Everyone used to stop everybody when before they would say the blank witnesses. You know, the group of the Jehovah's Witnesses. All right, I won't be machmir. Jehovah's Witnesses. But we pretty much know that's not the way you pronounce. That's not the way you pronounce that name, according to everyone in the world. So you don't have to worry that that's going to be the word itself, the way to say the Shem Mefurish. The historians think the right way to say it is a word that rhymes with wowee. Is the proper way to say it according to historians. But people have been wrong before, so historians, we don't know. So the Yerushalmi says there was a certain doctor who knew the Shem Mefurish. He wanted to give it to Rav Pinchas Bar Chama. But Rav Pinchas Bar Chama refused to learn it. He said that he didn't qualify because he used to take Meiser from different individuals. Having benefited already, getting Hana from different individuals, he couldn't be trusted with the Shem Mefurish Because he might come to use it against them. He might come to use it against them.
What about a Kohen?
What?
What about a Kohen? Who eats...
That's to be the big kasha. That's going to be the big kasha. Because the Kohen's the one who's given the thing and he's given the Maestros. Mm-hmm. That
so
we're going to get to.
How did Yerushal Rav come and ask his kasha? It should be the other rabbi.
What?
He benefited from them. Why is he getting angry? He getting angry. People gave you nothing.
No, Yaakov Kamenetsky asked about... Oh, Chaim Kanievsky. Yeah, so good. So we're still in the middle of answering. Yerushalmi itself answered the question. It was we're getting to. So what does this all mean? So the psychology here is that we get angry at people easily, people who have done favors for us. A human being doesn't like to become beholden to anyone. So in an irony of human behavior, we're more apt to act sort of chutzpah with the people who have done favors for us, meaning no one wants to admit to anyone, I owe you. That's what the Gemara is saying. It's a twist on human psychology, but I guess that is the psychology the Gemara is getting to. We hate to say to anyone, I owe you. We hate to feel that way. So because of that, that's what the Gemara is getting at. That's the teretz that they basically give in the Gemara, what the Yerushalmi is getting at. You don't want to, you tend to flip it back on people.
So can I anticipate an answer on my Kohen?
What's that?
Question in that the Kohen is doing us a tova. We're not doing the Kohen a tova.
While he's using the Shem Mephoresh, he's in the middle of doing us a tova. All right, let's see. Let's wait till we get to the Sugya. We're going to get to the Sugya. It could be teretz. What's that?
Even though he's living off the Trumas, that's sort of...
Kafara, and to be able to be
matter the food, and not just in terms of the on Yom Kippur, in terms of relationship.
The problem is though that
if I don't take Maestros on my food, right? I'm not supposed to.
But the problem is that Pinchas Bar Chama's reasoning for not taking the Shem Mephoresh is because he dafka received Maestros already. That's the kasha. It could just be he was being machmer because what's it called? They wanted to teach it to him. They wanted to teach it to him, meaning they knew this too. They knew he's a Kohen who takes it, so it could have just been a chumrah. Yeah.
Kohen is exeris akosim that he uses the Shem Mephoresh at certain times.
In the context
of you're talking about it by a hedyot, because the Shem Mephoresh obviously was powerful and gave you all kinds of.
That's the main answer. The main answer is that in the context of the Beis Hamikdash, the Torah tells him to use it. But stam for an average person to use the Shema Force, an average Kohen, that's a different din. Exactly. The last introductory topic.
What's the big deal about a nace inside the Beis Hamikdash? It happened every day there, supposedly, right?
Who's making a big deal?
Huh?
Yeah, who's making a big deal?
Yeah, so the fact that he uses the Shema Mephoresh, you know, it's like a different playing field there. You know, so he can affect things. Inside the Beis HaMikdash.
One of the dinim of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah,
one
so
of the nisim.
Yeah, so,
good.
So
I wouldn't make it more than
there.
This. Good.
But outside, it's a different matter.
Right. All right. Exactly. It's not within the context of the avodah. Then what's it for? Good. So another introductory idea of the we're just laying out the different introductory areas where Shem Mephoresh is used. Another one's the Urim V'Tumim. The Rashi on Shmos Perakav Ches Pasuk Lamin VaYikra Ches says the Urim V'Tumim was driven essentially by the Shem HaMafurish. It was the Shem HaMafurish which was driving the Urim V'Tumim, what's it called, to work. I was driving it to work. So,
the algorithm.
What's that?
It was the algorithm.
Yeah, exactly. That made it. That operated it. The Yavabai Urim V'Tumim. I'll leave those be. So we had Megadev. What are the instructors? We had Megadev. We had Urim V'Tumim. We had the Yerushalmi, which talks about the basic idea of the power of giving over Shem Mephoresh, and you can't get hana from people before you can use the Shem Mephoresh. These are some of the areas that we talked about it. Now let's get to the... How much time? What time is it? Okay. Now we start moving a little bit further in. Okay, a little further in. Okay. I want to talk about Duchenin. Yeah.
The Hashem Elokeinu.
Yeah.
What is the relation to the Shem Mephoresh, and why can't we say Hashem Elokeinu?
It's fascinating if you think about it. The Vilna Gaon points out a few times, also a Zohar, that if you look at the name of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, okay, the Yud Kei Vav Kei is the way we say it, is not the way it's written. And the way the Shem Adnus, the Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and then Yud, the way we read it when we see it in the Torah is not the way everything's switched. It's all switched around. And then when you get to Elohim, which is such a holy name, it's also used B'Lashon Chulin.
Right.
for judges.
Right.
Elohim. Right. So that also is just very strange with the Shem Hashem. So
and other names where we feel free to use, like Ma and then Kom, you know, people have no problem, I don't think, saying those together, right?
That what?
Hamakom.
Oh, Hamakom. Yeah. Certain shemos of Hashem are considered on a lower level.
Shalom is a shame.
So Rambam classifies, he says the ones that we could say straight out without any problem, he says those are the ones that are more descriptive of God's midos. The ones that we can't say, that's the Machlokes, which ones can't we say? The ones that we can't mamish say at all, those are the ones that are not just descriptions of God's midos. Those are not descriptions that are related to Kedushas Etzim.
Makom is a Mida?
Yeah, the omnipresent.
He's the Makomo Shalolam. Makomo Shalolam,
100%. If you go through our scroll, some of the brachas, like every word is capitalized referring to God.
Yeah. There are a lot of them that just describe the Midos.
How does Shem Elohim come from Shem Mefor?
What do you mean?
Well, you would think that since you can't say it, it's probably a direct descendant from Shem Mefor.
Well, according to Rambam, Shem Mefor is the Yod Kei Vav Kei. That's what it is.
What's the difference between Elohim and Borei Olam or something like that? Like, he's the creator of the world, and he is the judge of the world. So why is one such that we don't say it, and one such that we do say
okay.
it?
Okay. What? That's why you're very chelik. I'm going to do Monday nights, by the way, I decided. Okay, what you're asking, Stomp, is we have descriptions of God that are not considered a Shem Hashem, and I'll say it straight like the Rambam. Rambam says there are names of Hashem that serve more of his description than they do a name. But are they still a name? Yes, they're still a Shem Hashem. Then in the Torah, we have descriptions of God that are not Shemos of Hashem at all. So you have three levels. You have mamish things which are Shemos of Hashem, which are Kedusha Be'etzem. Then you have things which are Shemos, which are more in the descriptive side. And then you have things which are just descriptions. Okay, and they have nafkaminas between them. When could you say them? How could you use them? For example, there's a Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik told the Rav, that's quoted in Nefesh HaRav, that you shouldn't take money into the bathroom. You shouldn't take money into the bathroom unless it's in a double cover. Your pocket and then wallet, right? Because in God we trust. You shouldn't take it in there. He thought any kinoy that you give for Hashem, it's quoted in Nefesh HaRav. Any kinoy that we use for Hashem, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought had a kedusha.
People write G-dash.
Yeah.
They put a dash in it.
Has anyone put together all the names of
I'm sure the list somewhere. Yeah, 100%. It's got to be. Rambam has a list. Everybody, a lot of lists. A lot of lists. Okay, let's get to the sugya. So the Gemara in Kedushin, Ayin Amin Aleph says, Berishona hayu mosrim shem ben yud beis osios l'choldam. In the old days, they used to give out the name, the 12-letter name, to everybody. U'mishirabu ha-pritzim, when the pritzim increased. Hamishtam shem hashem is people that were using names. Hayu mosrin et hashem rak litznuin shibba kohuna levarech et ha'am b'mikdash. They gave it only to the tznuim, the kohanim, to bless the name of mikdash. Va'osam tznuim hayu mavlian oso b'ni'ima acheyem ha'kohanim. They would use it with delicateness and sweetness with their brothers, the kohanim. Shibasha shekol kohanim al haduchin hayu omrim shem ha'mafur. By the way, people know what duchin is when you say Duchening, now is duchening. What's duchening mean? What does the word mean?
Platform.
That's the platform, the duchening. So when they were there, I omrim shame hamafurish, bain dalit osios. The Gemara seems to say straight out. Shame dalit osios is the shame of furish.
Which one? Which dalit
good, osios? Good, soon like the Ram right now. Umushkin koilam bin ima, hayutznom avlin hashem ben yud beiz osios. Okay, and the tznuin would say the name Hashem yud beiz osios. What?
The Yom Kippur davening.
Yeah, we talk about the Avoda. Seder Avoda is the kisogin. So here's the problem. The Gemara in Sota 38a, Lamed Chesem and Aleph. Bemikdash Omar et Hashem Kiksovo, Uva Medina Bekinuyov. The Gemara in Sota says that in the Mikdash they would say the Shem Hashem as it's written, but in the Medina, outside the base of Mikdash, they would say it in the way it's supposed, in the way we pronounce. You understand? Yudke Vovke in the Mikdash, they would mamish say it. Outside, they would say Ado Shem. Okay, that's the way they would say it. Rashi explains, what do you mean when it's written? Yud K, Rashi says it straight out. And Kinoi is Aleph Dalid, the Shem Adnus. Okay, Shem Adnus. So, and it says in the Torah straight out, Rashi's pshat is very mistaber, because it says straight out in the Torah, it says, Yivarechecha Hashem Vayishmerecha. Mm-hmm. How does it say Yivarecha Hashem in the Torah? Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, right? Yivarecha Hashem, Vayishmerecha. And it's written like that. It's written B'Shem Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. And where's the? You have the whole thing in Nassau. Is it all spelled out? Yivarecha Hashem, Vayishmerecha. You know, is it, I think you also have the Shem Adnas in there also, right? You have only Hashem, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Okay, it's pronounced with the Shem Adnas.
And this is throughout the Mikdash?
What?
This is in all parts of the Mikdash?
What do you mean all parts? This is the Birkas Kohanim. This is the Birkas Kohanim right now. Just the Birkas Kohanim. So you have two options. You can read it as Kiksavo, as the way it's written, or you could read it as the Shem Adnus. Okay? It's Perikvo or something? What is it, Perikvo? Or is the Shem Adnus? So
there's no sir.
Thank you. Here, Kot of Archus Bezam Marlem, Yavarcha Hashem Yishmerecha, Yud Kevavke, Yair Hashem Yud Kevavke, Paramelechuneka, Yisa Yud Kevavke, Paramelecha, Vesem Lecha Shalom. So the ways of reading this, your possibilities are. By the way, the next pasuk is important. V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael. I placed my name in b'nei Yisrael. V'ani avarchem. This is clearly only one of two names over here. It's either Yud Kei Vav Kei, or it's the way we read it as the Shem Adnus. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, then Yud. So the kasha is, how did the Gemara in Kedushin, Ayin Aleph, get off talking about the Yud Beis Osios? I'll read that Gemara to you again. Berishona hayu mosrim shem Yud Beis Osios l'chol adam. Umisharabu ha-pritzim, when the pritzim would increase, who would use names too flippantly, they would just give the names to the tsnuin, to the kahuna, to bless the people in the mikdash. What Yud Beis Osios was in the bracha of the kohanim in the mikdash? What Yud Beis Osios? You hear the kasha of the Gemara? Yeah.
Four times three.
Oh. Shem Yud Beis Osios is not the Shem Hashem that was 12, like it was a 42 and it was a 72, but Shem Yud Beis Osios is the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Excellent. Excellent.
Three times
four. One, two, three, and you're good. You're good. Perfect shot. Shkoyach Yanki. You did? Oi.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, you said it. Oh, you said Duchening. Oh, I thought I missed it. He's done Duchening. Arin has coin. Adnus and Yud Kei Vav Kei. Adnus and Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay.
Wait, what is Birkas Hashem?
So what?
What does Birkas Hashem refer to?
Birkas Hashem refer to?
Which Shem?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Like, there's a lava of Birkas Hashem, right? Like, you're not supposed to use
Megadev? We just said Megadev is the Isser. Rambam says it's using either of the four. The two fours. So, the Pashtus, though, is not like Yankee. It says Berishona Hayu Mosrim Shem Yud Beis Osios. They would give the 12-letter name. It doesn't say they had the ability to say it three times. It says the Shem Yud Beis Osios. So it's Mamash Etzarech Ian on the Gemara. Yeah. So the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim Chelik Aleph Simen Beis says the Shem Shall Yud Beis Umem Beis Osios. He disagrees. It says there's a 12 name. There's a 42 name. That's not the Shem Mafurish. Eina ela ke echad mina kinuyim shel shem havaya uke kinoy aleph dalid. It's a nickname on the Adnus or the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Va'al, so based on that, says the Rambam, when the Gemara in Kedushin says that they took away the, so to speak, they hid the shem of Mefurish not to publicize that, the Rambam says that. You didn't have a Gemara here, Kedushin? Oh, here, you had it here. No, it's Kligiga. Kedushin.
What is
Gemara? I think it's an order. I thought I'd start from a different spot. These are the Rashi's that Mr. Banks was talking about.
He says, I don't know, more than once he doesn't know what it is.
Okay.
I think.
where the prutzim over here, the prutzim and the prutzim. It says over here, Pam Chabashur Mishmik, Siv Ze, Shaneichta, fine, Mikrobal Bishona, Yubin Shtaimus Rey Osios. Here, Shame Ben Shtaimus Rey Osios, Hayimosun Osolachol Adam, Misharabu Ha Pritzim. Okay, it's a Shame Yudbeis Osios. Okay. So Misharabu Ha Pritzim from using it, it's Num Shabagahuna, and Rashi says the Shame Ben Yudbeis. So what does the Rambam Mor Nevuchim say? The Rambam Mor Nevuchim say, here, come take a seat. Rambam Mor Nevuchim says that, that where Kedushin says that they needed to hide something and not lefarsimo, it means they're talking about the Shem Mefurish. Meaning the Rambam Amor Nevuchim reads this in a very strange way. I'll read it to you again, and the way I'll read it the way the Rambam reads it. It says, Berishona Shem Ben Shtemes Reosus Hayimosun, they used to give the Shtemes Re to everybody out. Misharabu HaPritzim Hayimosun Osol Tznuim, Shibakuhuna, Batznuim Shikahuna, Mavlian Osol B'ni'im Asachem HaKohanim. They would do it privately. Then says the Rambam, but the Gemara tails off into another sugya of how the Kohanim would go up, and meaning the Kohanim had the 12. The Gemara never meant for a moment to say the Kohanim mamish went up there to use this 12, because it wasn't on the level of the other two. It wasn't on the level of the other two. Rashi really seems to be saying, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank learns like this, Rashi really seems to be saying that the big name over here was not the four-letter ones. It's the higher up you go in numbers. Rashi's Shita, you see throughout Shas, is the higher you go in the count, the holier it is. I don't know where Elohim is. I shouldn't say that. But 12 and 42 and 72, for Rashi, while he may not know what those are, he's still saying those are the ones they mamish needed to hide. Those are the ones they mamish needed to hide. Okay, but the Rambam is still shver. What were the Kohanim doing with the 12-letter name according to the Rambam? Rashi's okay, because according to him, you could say that it's more kaddish than the 4-letter name. So the Kohanim might have had a period in history where they were using, instead of even the 4-letter name by the Duchening, according to Rashi, you could say they were using the 12-letter name. And that's what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank wants to say. He wants to say that the old Duchening in the base of Migdash, according to Rashi, might have been with the 12-letter name of God. But for the Rambam, that's not going to work, because it's
about
a downgrade.
What about the fact that it says in the Parsha directly, Yivarech HaShem with the 4-letter name?
Because maybe that's telling you for Ladoros. It's giving you a halacha ledoros that for all generations, that's the default. If you don't have
since
the shame of Forish.
Yeah,
so that's what it is, three times.
Not
that, no, that, if you don't have it, that's the default name. It didn't want to write the shame of Forish because it wasn't Moser to everyone. That's Rashi would say all this. The shame of Forish couldn't have been written in the Torah. They can't give it out to everybody, so they had to keep it short, they had to keep it simple, and they wrote you. That's how Rashi would read
that
this.
That would explain why it says v'samur shemi, right? Because that's it's kind of.
That's pshat in the samur shemi. Rav Tzvi Pesach said the exact same thing. That's pshat in the last line v'samur shemi, telling the Kohanim, but put my real name in there. You who know it in the inner circle, in the circle of trust. Those who know it, put it in there. Go ahead.
So these days, the blessings for the Kohanim at the end are 22, just like the Aleph Beis is 22.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the Nadav and Avihu thing, I never really was clear. Does Nadav and Avihu have anything to do with this?
Do they?
I don't know. Seems logical.
They went in there and offered a foreign fire.
No one's really sure what they did.
That's true.
There's many.
You're saying well.
21 answers.
That's true.
So is that possibly?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything. Why? You heard anything in contact with them in the Shem Mefurish? Sounds familiar, right? Sounds vague.
Well, they say one covenant to you know, Moshe and Aaron, and they were wrong. They're
anything
wrong
about them using the Shema Forish? I don't know why in the back of my mind they have it also.
Obviously.
Aaron's usually on to something
but
like that.
In modern day times, the blessings.
Someone say Shema Forish with these?
22 blessings.
Someone look up later whether one of the pshatim on what the Nadavan of you did was related to Shema Forish. I don't remember. I don't know why I was sometime in my head. All right, we'll look into that. Now. So let's just solve the Rambam. That's all we got to do. Let's just solve the Rambam. What in the world were the Kohanim doing with this Yud Beis? It can't be in the Duchening, because for him, the high grade is the four letter. So what could we say?
Pardon me.
Yeah.
When they Duchen in those days,
yeah.
What was Duchening as opposed to today? Were there more blessings, less? What did they actually do? They just went like this?
The Gemara has straight out the same, almost the same verbatim. We copy almost the same thing. Almost exactly the same thing nowadays. Okay.
Almost?
What? You're Rebbeim. There was a process how they arose, how they came up. It's mamash the same. But how they used to come up, the Gemara says a little differently, but just basically the same. So the Gemara in Yoma Lamed Tesem Beis says the Mishemes Shimon Hatzadik, when Shimon Hatzadik died, Nimnu'u HaKohanim Levarach B'Shem HaMefurash. The Kohanim would not bless with the Shem HaMefurash. Okay, that's the Gemara in Yoma Lamed Tesem Beis. They stopped.
They were stopped.
Oh, okay, good. 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 Now, the Rambam Perek Yudalet Hilchas Tfilah Halacha Yud says the same thing. He quotes that Gemara. He quotes that Gemara and the Sugya in Kedushin, you could therefore say, was after the death of Shimon HaTzadik. This is not my Chiddush. This is the Chiddush of the Sefer Chavetz Elis HaSharon. It's a nice little Sefer, a little quick Kedushim. And the Chavetz Elis HaSharon says, in defense of the Rambam, you have to say, Shkoyach, you have to say that it was talking about after the death of Shimon HaTzadik. It's a beautiful answer. That works now. Therefore, what could the Tznuin do since they couldn't use the Shem Mefurash up there? The Tznuin, what they did was use the Shem Yud Beis. The Shem Yud Beis. That's what you have to say within him. Okay?
Remind me, which door was Shimon HaTzadik? He was pretty early, right? He was...
One of the way back, the earliest. He was very loud, exact year. One of the early. He was on the end of the first set of tonight with Shimon HaTzadik. So if Shimon HaTzadik, it was once he died. Once Shimon HaTzadik died, nimnu from using the Levarach B'Shem Mefurash. What were they then stuck with using? They were stuck with using the Shem Yud Beis. It was a downgrade, but that's what they used. The Kohanim at the time. That's what they used. Rashi in Kedushin says even in the time of the Mikdash, when they were Mvarchim B'Hashem, meaning before the time, he's understanding before the death of Shimon HaTzadik, they would use B'Shem Yud Beis Zosios, because he holds that it's, remember, an upgrade according to Rashi. He holds that it's an upgrade. I saw in a Sefer Afike Yam, who says that he has a different Shita. He says Shem Mefurash is either or. Either one will work. They're on equal levels. You want to put Yud Beis? Yud Beis, you could put the Yud Beis. Yud Kei Vav Kei is also Shem Mefurash. They're both a Shem Mefurash. They're both a Shem Mefurash. You want to know which one? Solve the problem. Both are right. Rashi, Rambam, both right. Go home. Rashi said no. It's only the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Whatever the higher number you go, that's Shem Mefurash. Rambam's Shita is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Rambam's going to have to say there was this period where the Kohanim couldn't use the Yud Kei Vav Kei because in deference to the death of Shimon HaTzadik, they didn't use it. That's what he's going to have to say. Rashi's going to say the reason they used it, Zeshmi, that V'samowit Shmi, Al B'nei Yisrael, is because that's an upgrade. You're taking what the Torah couldn't write and bumping it up and using the special term.
Where's the Arch HaShulchan
saying this? Arch HaShulchan Asid?
Yeah.
I don't know. We could check afterward. It's right there in the bottom. We could check. But the interesting thing is that Avraham, it says that when Avraham gave his kids, right? What did he give them? Avram blessed his kids with, what did it say he gave them? Did it say Bakol by there?
Yeah.
Bakol was by him. Hashem gave him Bakol. But what did he give his kids? What's the exact lashon in the Pasuk? I don't remember. Rashi says, though, he gave them the ability of the Shem Mefurash. Sforno says he gave them Shem Tumah. You say Shem Tumah. What does it mean, Shem Mefurash? You have Rashi, Sforno, Ramban. One opinion there says he gave them the Shem Mefurash to be able to say. So everyone asks, what did he give them? They were the non-frum kids. What's he giving them the Shem Mefurash? So it could be it was like, Kirov. Give them some chizik in their lives to say the Shem Hashem. Whatever it is, I'm not sure. But just something to think about as
Rabbi,
you go.
You know,
yeah.
You know when Hoshanas, you say, I need the hope. I have